I have a very strong suspicion that if Jesus were alive today and knew the history of the church as it evolved over two millennia, he would have chosen a much different metaphor for himself other than being the good shepherd. I mean, it's buried deep in the Hebrew Bible. God is the shepherd of Israel, and there's sheep stuff and shepherd stuff all over the thing. I've never met a shepherd, so I don't know. I've been on a sheep farm. It's a factory farm, basically, like places that raise pigs or cows. Very nice people who run that. But I'm virtually certain that they don't have any kind of personal relationship with the sheep that they own. And we can be sure that these are very small flocks. They were not, you know, the massive kind of enterprises that we have today. If you look at the history of the church, I've been wondering all week what kind of metaphor Jesus would use for himself today. He would not call himself the shepherd, I'm virtually certain. Why? Because that title has been taken up by popes and bishops and distorted drastically. And there's no other word for it. It has been badly distorted. We can see this in the death of Oscar Romero. You know, May the 23rd, he's going to be beatified at long last, against the wishes of Ratzinger and his crowd, who obstructed it for 10 years or better. His beatification, this guy who was shot by some School of America trained commando. You know, why? Because he talked about the poor all the time. So Ratzinger thought he was a dirty Marxist. Can't have a bloody Marxist in the church, you know, blah, blah, blah. So Francis, who has a much more realistic appraisal of this man, said he's not a Marxist. He's a man who's very attentive to the well-being of his people. You remember, too, that his secretary, this Jesuit Rutile, was shot as well before he was. And there he always goes, oh, you can't shoot a bishop. Sure you can shoot a bishop. Bishops are meant to be shot. You know? If they're real bishops. We were horrified. I remember the tremors that went through the church. Oh, my God, they shot a bishop. They shot a bunch of bishops, as a matter of fact. In the early days of the church, they shot them regularly, or beheaded them, or threw them to the lions, or did some other nasty thing. And nobody looked twice. That's good. Things are going as they're supposed to go. So we have radically upended this notion of shepherding. I don't know much about sheep. I lived one summer with a sheep, a wonderful sheep. But I didn't see anything particularly remarkable about this sheep. We liked it very much. Then it got slaughtered, and then we ate lamb chops, and that was the end of victory. That was the name of the sheep. But we named a sheep. Just like these guys apparently had these little bitty flocks, and they knew, just like people who have cows, name their cows and know their cows, know their temperament, know their personality. And cows have personality, believe it or not. Just like dogs do, and cats do. So what's the problem? Sheep are supposed to be docile, witless, and errant. I mean, if you've seen any of those wonderful border collie trials in Scotland, where a dog can take a whole bunch of sheep, line them up in a straight line, and shove them into a corral, you get some sense of where sheep are. The problem is, of course, that popes and bishops routinely call themselves shepherds. I've never met a bishop in my life who deserved the term shepherd. In the sense that Jesus knew shepherds, where there's this affectionate bond between the shepherd and his flock. I know lots of bosses. In fact, in my experience, virtually all of them are bosses, which means what? Their decisions are the last word. You can't argue with them. You can't offer a counterposition which might be discussable. No. Everything trickles down. You know, an imitation of papal infallibility. And that, by the way, reminds me of a couple of statements by an English Monsignor. What are the laity good for? For hunting, shooting, playing cards. That's what the laity. They should stay out of ecclesiastical matters. And then, of course, we have the immortal words of St. Pius X. What are the laity good for? To pay, to pray, and to obey. And I think each of us, at least I have, of course I had more experience of this than you guys have interiorized that sense of who these people are and how they're supposed to operate. And we just take it for granted. Sure, they're the boss. They're the boss. I've yet to ever enter into a discussion with a bishop, and I've known a bunch, who ever took me seriously. They issue their edicts and expect to be obeyed, case closed. Okay? That's not the church that Jesus was interested in. That's not the church that Jesus enacted or Jesus hoped for. We have drastically distorted the role of the hierarchy. That's why so many people are angry at Francis today. And I say angry, and I mean angry. Raymond Burke, Cardinal Raymond Burke, former head of the Apostolic Signatura, you know, the highest court in the Vatican, was demoted by Francis because of his absolutely autocratic position. My sister suffered under him when he was Archbishop of St. Louis. And then he rose and rose and rose and rose. And then Francis, in a wonderful twist, made him chaplain of the Knights of Malta, which I find a wonderful thing. The Knights of Malta meet about two days a year in a closet someplace, I think. In any case, Burke is where he belongs to be. But still fulminates against Francis. Francis is sowing confusion in the church, as if we, sheep-like, have no capacity to assess what is going on here. And that's probably the crucial issue. Are we mindless, thoughtless, helpless critters who need to be guided at every point? That's the church I grew up in. That's the church I live in London, Ontario, for that matter. Try arguing with Bishop Favreau. I dare you. Or any of the bishops that I've known. I dare you. Try arguing with the Cardinal Archbishop of Toronto, Tom Collins, former seminary rector here. Try arguing with any seminary rector. I know about seminary rectors. If you allow the vulgarity, it's pissing in the wind, folks. You're going to get no place. You're going to get no place. So what is this all about? It is supposed to be an encouragement to me, first of all, and to you, to do what Augustine told us to do. Christian, acknowledge your dignity. Second Vatican Council made it very clear in their document on the Church in the Modern World. the first version of the thing had the church as mystery and then the hierarchy. Oh, we got to get the hierarchy in right away. Then the bishops, thank God in their wisdom, reversed that and put that chapter as chapter 3 after the chapter on the laity. But my question is, where has that been enacted? The new Archbishop of Chicago, for instance, a man named Soup, which apparently is hell-bound to do that. And Francis, my God, Francis is raising a storm in the Vatican because he wants to listen to people. Because he believes they have something to say, something substantial, something real, something helpful. That's why we should be eternally grateful, even if he does last only a couple more years. Because that's what shepherding in the church is supposed to look like. A shepherd is the one who takes care and does not know all the answers and needs to enter into dialogue. See, this is where the sheep and shepherd metaphor doesn't work. Sheep can't talk back. Sheep has no thoughts, no opinions, no judgments. Sheep is just there to be ordered around with the wonderful thing, the crooks, the croziers that the bishops use to this day. They're basically shepherd crooks, the big hairy staffs with a curly Q on the top. That's for shepherds to beat the bloody sheep into line. So, what is going to change? I don't know. In Europe, there is this large movement originating in Germany called Wir sind Kirche. We are the church, which has angered any number of bishops over there, or the groups in the States, whose name I just forgot at this moment. We're trying to reform the church. The depths of the reform, I think, are far deeper than any of us imagine. And until we can do what Paul said over and over and over the Christian's supposed to do, exercise parhesia. One of his favorite words, namely that anybody can talk to the emperor. Anybody can talk and expect to be heard. More to the point. Because I know all kinds of interpositions who have been made to Fabro, for example, in my case, where people have written letters, phone calls, blah, blah, blah. He said, "We graciously received your literature. Thank you very much." Again, case closed. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Because the poor bugger is entrapped in this sick system. And it is sick. A father knowing best. Well, let us pray that we have the courage to transgress that kind of thinking and to act contrary to it. And to take our position as full citizens of the church. Not second-class citizens.